I want to start us out this morning on a verse from the 17th chapter of St. John. The 17th chapter of St. John covers the Lord's Prayer. Not what we ordinarily call the Lord's Prayer. That's recorded in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. That's the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. But the 17th chapter of St. John is the prayer that Jesus prayed himself. And it's his high priestly prayer in behalf of the church. It was the last prayer that he was to ever pray for his disciples and their followers on down to us, the church in this age of time, while he was on the earth. So we're sure that everything in it was real important. And Jesus wasn't mincing any words here. No idle words in this. He was praying for the thing that laid the closest to his heart, and that was the church that he had come to purchase with his own blood. Now, the verse I want to point up in the beginning here is the 9th verse. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. 2 weeks ago this morning, I was discussing the thought of Jesus as our high priest, the high priest of our profession, and drew some comparisons between him and his work and Aaron, the high priest of the Old Testament sanctuary, and his work. One thing I would like to go back to in that regard was the vesture that Aaron wore, and on his breastplate he had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel engraven there. And on his shoulders, he had them again. The names of all 12 of the children of Israel on his shoulders and on his breastplate. And he said he bore them before the Lord continually, bore those names. Now, that was quite a gorgeous, highly decorated vesture that Aaron wore. And I read this morning in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 13, about Christ's vesture. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. That was his own blood. I close that little message on this 9th verse that I just read to you. Having discussed in the discussion about Jesus praying for Peter, Satan had desired to have him that he might sift him as wheat, but he said, I prayed for you, that your faith won't fail. Jesus' work today is to pray for you and me, making intercession. He appears in the presence of God for us, the Bible says. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's praying. Praying to the Father in our behalf. I'm comforted with the thought in this connection where Jesus, when he was here on the earth, prayed to his Father and he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And I believe that the Father still always hears his Son.
Amen.
When his Son prays. And when his Son prays for me, I believe that the Father hears that prayer. Prayer is an important thing, and the prayers of others in our behalf is important. And I appreciate the agreement of prayer of the saints. And I appreciate it when some of the saints, or all of them, are concerned about me and praying for me. I appreciate that. And when you agree with me in prayer, that's worth money, worth more than money. But after I've said that, I still want to say that I would rather have the Lord Jesus Christ agreeing with me in my prayer than anybody.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't agree with me in my prayer, it's not going to get there. It'll never reach the throne. Jesus said, whatever you'll ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Prayers go to God through Jesus Christ. By the way of Jesus. Many people today, you ask them if they're Christians, and they say, well, I believe there's a God. That doesn't make Christians out of folks. That doesn't save people. We can believe in God and still be lost. We've got to believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is our Savior. He's the one that made the atonement for our sins. And the Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And every petition that you and I present to the throne of grace, it has to recognize Jesus in it. Be prayed in Jesus' name. We don't pray to Jesus. We pray to God in Jesus' name. And when the petition is agreeable to Jesus and he agrees with us in prayer, he passes it right on to the Father. Brother Madden made a cute little remark when he was here, and I never forgot that, and I hope I never do. He was in a big way of praying and presenting some earnest petitions before the Lord, and in that prayer he said, Jesus, just keep talking to the Father for us. That's important. If you and I can get Jesus to talk to the Father for us, it's going to amount to something. It'll get through. Every petition that we send up goes by the way of Jesus. And every answer to our prayers comes back by the way of Jesus. From God through Christ. For Christ's sake, every blessing that you and I receive in life, it's for Christ's sake that God does those things. The Lord told me straight out one time, he said, The only way you can be worthy of my blessings is by acknowledging Jesus Christ as my Son and confessing Him as your Savior and putting your faith in the merits of His shed blood and that only for every favor that you ever get from me that makes you worthy. God hears our prayers for Jesus' sake. He appears in the presence of God for us. He's our advocate, our attorney, so to speak, the one that represents us in a court.
Amen.
And this is the court of heaven. And Jesus appears there and He's bearing our names before the Father continually. Just as Aaron bore the names of the 12 tribes of Israel every time he went into the presence of God, so Jesus, abiding in the continual presence of God, is mentioning our names over and over continually before the Father. Calling our names there. That's His work in this dispensation. He came to the world on a redemptive mission. And He accomplished that. But when He left this world and went back to heaven, He entered into an intercessory ministry, and He's still in that and will be till the end of time. And His work is to pray for us. He makes intercession for us. In Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 54 through 56, we have here the case of Stephen. And Stephen is being stoned to death. He preached those people a masterly sermon. In that 7th chapter of Acts, I don't know where you'd go to meet it, outside of the Sermon on the Mount. This was a masterly sermon that he preached to them. And when he brought it right on down to them and they couldn't wiggle out, he had them crowded up in the corner and they just had to face up to it. It's us he's talking about now. They were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. And they took up stones to stone him, and they did stone him until he died. But right in the midst of that, he looked up and he saw the heavens open and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. God let him see that in that crisis.
Praise the Lord.
Right in that situation that was extreme, the Lord let him see that. Heaven just opened and he testified to them folks. They didn't like the idea of Jesus being resurrected from the dead. They didn't want to accept that. But he says, I see him up there. He's alive. Heaven's open. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible features Jesus as sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And everywhere else that it mentions Him, He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But here was an extreme crisis. And Jesus knew what it was to go through something like that and come out clean. He had gone through it. He had been reviled. He had been humiliated. He'd been persecuted. He'd been whipped and falsely accused and rejected of those that He came to save. All this happened to Him, and He finally hanged on a cross between the heavens and the earth to make an atonement for sins. But through the aid of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Romans 9:14, that He offered Himself without spot to God. He come through it clean. Come through it without any resentment or bitterness. Willing to save those that were doing that to Him. But he knew what it meant. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, that he might be able to succor us when we're tempted. And here is Stephen being tempted just like he was. And he knew what that meant. And he knew the crisis that Stephen was in. Passing through all of that to come out of it clean and be ready to go to heaven. He knew just what that meant. And it stirred him, and he got up and stood on his feet that he might more earnestly plead the cause of Stephen, the grace of God in his behalf. I imagine as we come on down the line, and there's been 60 million or more that have been tortured and sawn asunder and burned at the stake and thrown to the wild beasts and stretched and pulled apart and all the kinds of torture and humiliation and shame and reproach that could be heaped upon them for Jesus' sake. I imagine Jesus has put in a lot of time on his feet.
Amen.
Standing. But he appears in the presence of God for every one of us, all the time. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 32, he says, "If you confess me before men, I also will confess you before my Father which is in heaven." Folks, here's a trade-out. Jesus will represent us up there if we represent him down here. You be faithful to me. You confess my name before men. I'll represent you at the throne of grace before my Father. I'll confess you before him. But he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He's appearing in the presence of God for us. Jesus is our high priest. And he has not entered into the holy places made with hands, such as Aaron, but into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 7:25 says he is able to save all those to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's forever alive. Now he said, those priests back there, they suffered death. They were succeeded by another and so on down the line. But here's one that ever liveth to make intercession for us. The same high priest all the time. Right on through. This is important to me and thrilling and inspiring to me. To think of Jesus standing there confessing me before the Father. Confessing you, my brethren, before the Father. And when your needs are urgent enough, getting up and standing on his feet. That he might the more earnestly plead for grace for you. When God said, "My grace is sufficient," he never qualified that statement at all. If things just don't get too bad now, or people don't treat you too mean, my grace will be sufficient for you. But he just said, "My grace is sufficient." An overall blanket coverage of anything that could possibly happen to you in life, God's grace is sufficient for that. And Jesus is standing on his feet many times, no doubt, pleading for God's grace for one of his children down there that's in deep trouble.
Yes.
Needs his help. And sometimes, when things get pretty tight, and I'm praying for people that's in severe affliction and suffering severe pain and looks like not being any breakthrough and things get pretty tight and pretty difficult, I just begin reminding God, now your son's right up there, right in your presence, and he's got some stripes on his back, you look at them. And he's got some nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and you look at them. Remember that those stripes were put there for the healing of the people. And recognize that, and for Jesus' sake, have compassion on us and help us out here. That helps my faith. And that inspires me. And just think of Jesus being right there, right now, representing us. And as Brother Madden says, talking to the Father for us. Just keep on talking to the Father for us. Bring the grace down. Jesus is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And referring again to the scripture in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 13, that I mentioned in the first opening remarks of this little message, John saw a vision, an apocalyptic vision of Jesus Christ riding on a white horse, the armies of heaven following him on white horses, all of them clothed in white raiment, a victory march going on here, going forth conquering and to conquer, but he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And as he stands before his Father representing this world of sinners lost, he can remind his Father, look at this blood on my vesture. That's my blood. That's blood that I shed on a cross down there at Calvary to make an atonement for the sins of the whole world. And through that means, and as he stands there in the presence of God with the vesture dipped in blood and his own blood and pleads in behalf of sinners lost, he's representing them and opening a way, an access for them to get to God through Christ. Then in the 12th chapter of Luke and verse 18, it's the same thought. It branches out in a different direction. He said, if ye confess me before men, I also will confess you before the angels of God. Now that's important too. But why is it important? There's a statement like this over in the 18th chapter of Matthew. It says, take heed how ye despise one of these little ones that trust in me, for I say unto you that in heaven there are angels that always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now I think of it like this, that God is the giver of every blessing. And it's God that sends the help that we need in our extreme situations or mild situations in life, whatever it may be. But the angels are the delivery boys. They're the ones that bring the blessings that God issues out for you and me. In the 12th chapter, I believe it is, of Hebrews. Long toward the close of that chapter, he speaks of the angels. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to you and me, carrying the blessings of God, the delivery boys that bring the blessings of God to us. Jesus said, I'll confess you before them. If he doesn't confess me before the angels are not going to be dispatched to help me and bring the blessings that God sends my way. It's important that Jesus confesses before his Father and confesses before the angels. And he says, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And I thought like this. Why did they behold his face? They just stand right there looking right straight in the face of the Heavenly Father to catch the nod of his head, the wink of his eye, the motion of his hand, which direction to go, what to do, how they're dispatched to carry the blessings and to bring the defense and the protection to you and me that God has decreed for us. I'm glad we have a high priest that is acceptable in heaven's court. An advocate that can plead our case there and obtain mercy for us. In the third chapter of Revelation, verse 5, he says here, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Aaron bore the names of the children of Israel before God continually every time he went in. Jesus bears the names of the children of God continually. He ever liveth. It's a continual, perpetual intercession that he's making for you and me. But he wants you and me overcoming. He wants us overcoming our hindrances in life. He wants us overcoming our faults. He wants us overcoming our shortcomings. He wants us overcoming the things that hold us back when we'd like to go forward and pull us down when we'd like to rise. He wants you and me living victoriously and triumphantly. Amen. In this world. And he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. The 19th chapter of Revelation, verses 7 and 8, he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride hath made herself ready. His bride is the church now. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Amen. God wants you and me right. He wants to, by his grace, make us right. And fulfill us in every respect to be all that he's calling on us to be in this life. Amen. God wants to straighten us out. He wants to clear us up. He wants to lift us up on high. He wants to make us the head and not the tail. Children of God never find it necessary to make any apologies for the stand they take and the way they live unless they fall short somewhere, do some shabby living along the line, then they've got some apologies to make. But the way we live and the things we do and the things that we believe in, the faith that we hold, we have no apologies to make for those things. And God is able to clothe you and me with the garments of salvation, of righteousness, and of praise to God. Excuse me. The scripture says that ye should be to the praise of his glory. And that reminds me of a text over in the Psalms that says, the people that shall be created shall praise thee. The people that shall be created, that's a new creation. It was on down the line in the Psalms time. But the people, a new creation of God, the church of the living God, the saints in this dispensation, made new creatures. Amen. By faith in Christ Jesus. All things passed away, behold, all things are become new. We make up the new creation of God, and he said, the people that shall be created shall praise thee. And now those people have been created, and they're here, and they're in operation, and Peter said that ye should be to the praise of his glory. That's not just saying praise the Lord and hallelujah and things like that. It's being to his praise. Amen. The way we live and the way we glorify God and the way we sit on top of things that constitute trials and burdens and temptations and difficult things for us, the way we meet those things and overcome them, it's a praise to God. And it says it causes praise by many. Even the Gentiles, it said, they'll see your good works and be constrained to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Clothed in white raiment. The 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 9. John said, I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Folks, the gospel of Christ has gone to the four corners, so to speak, the four winds of the earth. It's gone everywhere, and everywhere it has gone, there have been converts to the Christian faith. Amen. And they compose a great company which no man can number, of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And he said they were clothed in white raiment, white robes, and palms in their hands. Can you imagine anything like that? Isn't that a resplendent view? Amen. Can your imagination take that in? A great company of people that no man could number, and every one of them with a spotless white robe on. One of our songs says, are you clothed in that white raiment that'll shine before the throne? The light that shines around the throne. Paul got a sample of that. He said it is brighter than the noonday sun. But here he's talking about a robe that'll shine before the throne in the face of such light as that. People that are clear with God. saved by his grace, washed in his blood. That 19th chapter of Revelation, a little further down, the angel's describing these people and explaining about this great company, said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the way they got white. Something strange about the blood of Jesus. Blood usually stains. But here's a blood that purges the stain out. And it doesn't leave a blood stain, it leaves the robe spotlessly white. Clothed in that white raiment that'll shine before the throne. Him that overcometh. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news that I bring to you this morning is that God has victory for every child he has. In 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and verse 14, he says, thanks be unto God who causeth us always to triumph in Christ. The good news that I bring you is that you need never take a beating. Just keep your faith in Christ. Keep your commitment to Him. Keep walking humbly before Him so He'll talk to the Father for you. You need never take a beating. You can come out with victory every time. Then he said, I'll not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and the angels. That's His business. Confessing our name before His Father God and the angels, who are the delivery boys that bring the blessings to you and me and help us in our extreme needs of life. Amen. Amen.